1 Corinthians 14, and we'll read verses 1 through 5, and we'll have a word of prayer and get into the scriptures. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy. For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men, but to Yahweh, since no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. But the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation. The person who speaks in another language builds himself up, but he who prophesies builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in other languages, but even more that you prophesy. The person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in languages unless he interprets so that the church may be built up. Let's pray. Father Yahweh, I am so thankful. And I'm so privileged to be here today to teach your word yet again another time. Father, I am but a man. I can do nothing apart from the help of your set-apart spirit. So, Father Yahweh, I just ask that you'd come upon me right now and lead me and guide me to be able to teach your word in a way that's easy to understand and in a way that builds up this congregation today. And, Father, we just pray right now that your will would be done in the remainder of this meeting. I love you, Yahweh. I love your people. And I'm just so excited to be part of your family. Heirs of you, Yahweh, and co-heirs with your Son. I look forward to the day, Father Yahweh. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it come, Father. I'm ready. I'm so ready. Through your Son, I pray. Amen. Well, today I hope to go through 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. Start going through this chapter today. I've been building up to it over the past two lessons. And we've talked about how important it is for us here in the body of the Messiah to have a spirit of love for the entire congregation. And to have a spirit of wanting to see everybody as a whole be built up and strengthened to walk this walk. When we come here to Sabbath service, our new moon service, the number one reason we come is to glorify our Creator. But in glorifying our Creator, He privileges us with being uplifted by listening to one another and their encouraging words that they speak. Even in a prayer request where we can pray for someone later on that week, and we can ask them next Sabbath, or we can call them up and say, how are things going? I've been praying for you and your request. Or somebody says a testimony. You never know through your testimony who you're going to encourage and edify with the words that you say. Sometimes you might feel like your words went in one ear and out the other with everybody sitting here. But sometimes, I know myself, sometimes I don't always tell you, but sometimes I hear certain testimonies and I write them down and they stay with me for the rest of my life. I have testimonies written here in the front and the back of my Bible that I've heard different brothers and sisters talk about. I've got one from 7 or 8 years ago that Brother Jerry gave 7 or 8 years ago written in the back of my Bible because it was an encouragement to me. When we come here as a congregation, our goal should be to encourage the entire body, to use our spiritual gifts to build one another up and make one another feel powerful in the spirit and ready to take on the satanic world that we live in, the forces of darkness that we live in, and ready to live for Yahweh fully and completely. Amen. That's what Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13 before 14. It's the great love chapter. And so he starts off in 1 Corinthians 14, and the first thing he writes is, pursue love. You know, that goes back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. Where in verse 31 he says, but desire the greater gifts, and the greater gifts are those that you're seeking to edify the body with. And he says, and I will show you an even better way. That even better way is pursue love. So he starts this off. Brother TJ talked about the knowledge in 1 Corinthians 8. He's taught on that text before. You know, knowledge is a good thing to have if you use it in the right way. But Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, as for knowledge, we know that, quote unquote, we all have knowledge. He said, but knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. It doesn't matter how much I know in my brain of the Bible if I do not try to make it comprehensible to every person in here today. Doesn't matter. There's men that I've sat down and have tried to listen to. There's books that I've tried to read. And one of the reasons that I wrote my book, Look at the Stars, was because I purchased another book about the stars in the heavens. And I'm just going to tell you, I couldn't understand it. And I thought, man, this is just scattered every which way, so I'm going to try to write a book that's easy to understand. Well, I had one brother tell me that he made it through the first two or three chapters and then it got difficult to understand. But I think with time we can learn and we can grow. You know, I understand people are at different levels. But everything we do for the body should be done out of a pursuit of love. Pursue love. That's what Paul starts off. And then he says, and desire spiritual gifts. There's nothing wrong with desiring a spiritual gift. Nothing wrong with it at all. So long as the attitude that you have is for you to use that spiritual gift for the building up of the body. Never forget, that's Paul's whole purpose of 1 Corinthians 14. That's his main focus. Tongues and prophecy, two gifts of the Spirit, are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14, but the main focus is the building up of the congregation. I took my Bible and with a green pen I went through 1 Corinthians 14 and I circled and underlined every place in this chapter that talks about edification, benefit, understanding, building up. And the whole pages here are full of green because that's the focal point of Paul's writing this chapter. He's telling the Corinthians, guys, gals, you've been doing things the wrong way. I'm going to show you how you're supposed to be operating in the spiritual gifts in the assembly. So pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy. Tongues usually gets the center stage, the gift of languages usually gets the center stage in 1 Corinthians 14. But Paul, out of the two gifts, says that prophecy is greater than the gift of languages. Desire spiritual gifts, but above all that you may prophesy. Now we think of prophecy sometimes wrongly. We limit prophecy to like Isaiah, where Isaiah says, thus saith Yahweh, this is what's going to happen in the future. That's one form of prophecy, where a prophet can prophesy something and it take place at a future date. But that's only one form of prophecy. There's another form of prophecy, and it's what I'm doing right now. Right now, I'm prophesying. Now, in my prophecy, I'm not introducing new revelation to you guys, but I'm expounding upon revelation that has been written. That's a form of prophecy. I'm using that spiritual gift right now. The reason Yahweh wants us to pursue prophecy in the congregation, specifically with the elders, is so that we can learn, be encouraged, become more knowledgeable about the Bible, become more knowledgeable about what we're supposed to do towards Yahweh and His Son, and grow in our grace and in our knowledge and in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. So he says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but above all, that you prophesy. Verse 2. For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men, but to Yahweh. And we have to focus on this for just a few minutes. Because this is why a lot of people in denominationalism believe that the gift of languages in 1 Corinthians 14 is different than the gift of languages in Acts 2. They believe there's at least two gifts of languages. Some would go so far to say that there are three, counting Mark 16, verse 17. I believe that there's only one gift, and I don't believe that the difference in 1 Corinthians 14, comparing with Acts 2, is the gift. I believe that the difference is the setting or the audience. But I can understand where someone might be confused comparing the two chapters. For instance, we talked about yesterday, in Acts 2, the apostles and others were speaking in foreign languages, languages they'd never learned, but guess what? There were other people there that did understand them because they spoke in their own native tongue. However, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, "For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men, but to Yahweh." Seems contradictory on the surface unless we recognize the difference between the church at Corinth and the setting in Acts 2. Now let me finish verse 2, or at least the next part of verse 2. Once again, it says, "For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men but to Yahweh." And then it says, "Since no one understands him." We'll get to the rest of it here in a second. Think with me back to Acts chapter 2. We're in Jerusalem. We've got Judahites from every nation under heaven that speak different languages. They have made a pilgrimage to the feast. And so therefore the gift of languages functions in a way where it's spoken and they can understand the languages in their own native, even dialect. That's a different setting than the church at Corinth. The common language at Corinth, and the church at Corinth was probably around the size of us. Churches back then weren't very big, like they are a lot of times nowadays. The Corinthians spoke what we would call Koine Greek. It was the common language of the known world at that time. And because the setting was in the church and not the pilgrimage festival at Jerusalem, when the gift of languages was used in the church, no one understood the speaker. Why? Because the church people all spoke the same language. Very easy for you to understand if you just think about it in relation to our congregation here in Rockdale County, Georgia. We all speak fluent English. Some of us speak a little French. I can count to 10 in German. Some people know how to say por favor. That's a little Spanish. But our fluent language is English, right? And so while it might be beneficial to operate in the gift of languages in the Acts 2 setting, it would not be beneficial to operate in the gift of languages in the church at Rockdale setting or the church at Corinth setting. That's the difference. And that's the reason why Paul says the person who speaks in another language doesn't speak to men in this particular setting, but to Yahweh. What does that mean? Yahweh is the creator and the originator of all languages, is he not? So if somebody right now had the legitimate gift of languages here in the congregation and stood up and began to speak and use that gift, nobody would understand him in this congregation, but Yahweh would understand. Yahweh would. And it goes on to say, however, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit at the end of verse 2. The way that we determine what it means when Paul writes mysteries in the Spirit is by looking at that particular word. In the Greek, it's mysterion. Mystery is pretty much a transliteration from the Greek to English. We look at how Paul uses that word mysterion in this epistle elsewhere or in other places of the New Testament. For instance, Yeshua uses that word, mysterion, in Matthew 13, or at least the author Matthew quoting Yeshua, uses it in Matthew 13, verse 11, where Yeshua talks about that to some people it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. When the New Testament uses the word mysteries, it's talking about truth. Secrets that have not been revealed at a certain time, but are now being revealed at this time. Let me show you this. Just turn one chapter later, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. We'll read verses 50 and 51. Remember, same author, same epistle, same word. You'll see this. He says, "Brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I am telling you a mystery." Same Greek word, mysterion. And what is that? "We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed." And he goes on to talk about the changing from corruptible to incorruptible, or from mortal to immortal. He also uses this Greek word, mysterion, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. And every time he's talking about revealing truth that has been kept secret, but now by revelation is being revealed to a particular group of individuals. He also mentions this word in Romans 16. I want to turn to this one, Romans 16, verse 25. It says, "Now to him who has power to strengthen you according to my gospel," Paul is writing, "and the proclamation of Yeshua the Messiah, according to the revelation of the sacred secret," different English word, mystery in the KJV, secret in the HCSB, mysterion in the Greek, "according to the sacred secret kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal Almighty, to advance the obedience of faith among all nations." And I could go on and on and on, and you can do a word search of mysterion in the New Testament, and you'll always see that it refers to truth. So, the person who speaks in another language in the church setting is not operating in as great of a gift as prophecy, and the reason that is because in the setting of the church, no one is able to understand him. He speaks truths in the Spirit. Yahweh can understand him, but remember, what's the purpose of spiritual gifts? To edify the body. So, I believe in the gift of languages. I've got no problem with the biblical gift. I believe that it's possible that someone could possess that gift today. I've never experienced it biblically. My dad, though, has actually told me, and my dad is in agreement with me on this subject, he's actually told me that he has experienced the biblical gift of languages, not himself, but he has been in a situation where a person was bestowed with a gift to speak a language they had never learned, and it was for the purpose of talking to someone that spoke that language and could not understand English. Now, I believe that if that took place, that would be the biblical gift of languages, and I think that it's quite possible that it could take place. I'm not saying that it couldn't. I believe it's one of the spiritual gifts, the nine gifts mentioned of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. So the difference in Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 14 is not the gift. The difference is the audience, the setting. And we seek to build up the congregation. Verse 3. I'll tell you what, let's read 2 and 3 together. "For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men, but to Yahweh, the Almighty, since no one understands him," remember in the church setting, "however, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. But the person who prophesies speaks to people for what? For edification." That word edify means to build up a structure. "Encouragement and consolation." Consolation means comfort. So when I prophesy, when I speak, and I pray that I speak by the inspiration of Yahweh to you guys every week, I pray that Yahweh leads me and guides me. Sometimes I think my flesh gets in the way, but I pray that He guides me by His Spirit. And when I'm up here teaching and prophesying, hopefully I'm doing it to edify everybody and to encourage everybody and to comfort everybody. Do you see how the purpose of the gifts here is to edify? If there was a situation in the church where the gift of languages was needed for a particular person or group of people, and it could be used and operated in where it would edify, then by all means, we should operate in the gift at that time. Verse 4, the person who speaks in another language builds himself up, but he who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I have to tell this story. I told it to a few people, I think, last night, but I have to say this story because this actually happened to me. When I was a teenager, I don't know, I was probably 18 or 19 years old. Brother Arnold and I went to a particular church. I can't remember why we went now, but we went. And it was a particular church that believed in what I think and I believe to be the unbiblical gift of tongues. And remember, there's always a truth and there's always a counterfeit. Never forget that. And don't let the counterfeit turn you away from the truth. Just because somebody abuses something doesn't mean that there's not a truth to it. You understand what I'm saying? There is a true gift of languages, and I believe in that. I've had people actually come up to me and say, well, Brother Matthew, I've heard through the grapevine, as they say, you don't believe in the gift of languages, the gift of tongues. And I say, well, you heard wrong. Because I do believe in the biblical gift of languages. I do. Now, I might understand it differently than you, but I believe in the gift. It's a spiritual gift. So Brother Arnold and I are at this congregation, and we walk in during the evangelistic sermon. And we sit down, and about that time, the preacher that preaches automatically starts preaching against belly-length beards. He does. And I look at Brother Arnold, and I'm thinking, man, alive, you know. Does he not know that our Savior had a beard? I don't know that our Savior had a belly-length beard like Brother Arnold, but our Savior had a beard, and Aaron probably had a belly-length beard. But the message immediately went from whatever it was being at that time to against the beard. And that's because some people, not all churches, but some churches, and not so much now as used to maybe 20, 30 years ago, actually believe that it's wrong for a man to have facial hair. And we know that's not scriptural. The message then turned to the gift of tongues. And the preacher, in what I think was a very cocky way, said that someone was rebuking him because they told him that tongues did not edify the church and you shouldn't operate in the gift in the church setting unless there's interpretation. And the preacher said, well, tongues may not edify the church. And he balled his fists up, and I'm not going to do an exact impression right now. But he balled his fist up, and he said, they might not edify the church, but bless God, they sure do build up yourself. And he spoke that in such a way as though when Paul wrote, he that speaketh in other languages builds himself up, he thought that Paul was speaking in a positive way. I don't think that's the case. I think here Paul is talking about that in a negative way. Let's read it again. Knowing what we've covered the past two services. The person who speaks in another language builds himself up, and what's the opposite of that? But he who prophesies builds up the church. Paul is actually rebuking those that would use the gift in the church setting minus the interpretation. Why? Because those that would use the gift when it was not needed were doing it at Corinth to say, look at me. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that that can only be done with a gift of languages. You can use any of the gifts to say, look at me. I can use the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching to say, look at Matthew. But I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to use it in a way that is edifying to everybody in here. You could use the spiritual gift of the word of wisdom to overtalk somebody. You know, we tend to forget just how foreign we seem to the world. And it's because we're around one another, and that's great. I love my brothers and my sisters and Yeshua the Messiah. But we tend to forget that we might be used to hearing the word Torah, but as soon as you say the word Torah to somebody you're witnessing to, they think that you're an alien from outer space. They don't understand what that means. And then try to put on a second Hebrew word or a third Greek word and see where the conversation gets you. I think we need to be more loving and more patient with people that we witness to, especially for the first little while, so that what can be done? They can be built up. Yeah, you might can talk over their head. Yeah, you might have the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. You might have the great faith where you can move mountains, but if you don't use it in love towards other people, what does it profit? You see that? So it's not just the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues or languages is being talked about here in this context. He's getting on to the Corinthians. Look, you're puffing yourself up. You're using it when you shouldn't. But the one that prophesies, he builds up the church. Do you see how the context is the church? Here in verse 4 is the first mention of the church, the ecclesia. And remember, the church is not necessarily the building. It's came to be known as the building because that's often where we gather. But the church could gather under an oak tree and it would still be the church because the church is the people and not the structure. Okay. So we seek to use our gifts to edify the church, the congregation, the body of believers. And in this context, where we're at right now, here in Rockdale County, we all speak English. The gift that is to be used to edify the congregation is prophecy or teaching, inspired teaching, not the gift of languages. The gift of languages can be used, but it's used in settings where it benefits the other people. This is a good principle that we always need to remember, that all of our talents, whatever they are to be used to bless others and not to puff up our own chest. And that goes for talents that aren't even spiritual gifts necessarily. Whether it's singing, playing an instrument, helping somebody carry something out to their car because it's too heavy for them. We're supposed to use any talent that Yahweh has given us to bless somebody else. Never to puff up ourselves. The person who speaks in another language builds himself up. Does that go for all times? No, it doesn't. Were the disciples in Acts 2 building themselves up? No, they weren't. They were building up the other people. Why? Because the other people could understand them in their own native language. See? So it all hinges on the setting, the venue. See? Verse 5, this will be the last verse we cover today. Paul says, I wish, or I would, I think KJV uses I would, all of you spoke in other languages, but even more that you prophesied. Now, let's stop and think here for a second. When Paul says, I wish that you all spoke in other languages, but even more that you prophesied, I don't think that Paul believes in his mind that it's even possible for every single individual to have both of these gifts. I think he's emphasizing something to make a point. In other words, hey, it will be great if everybody had the biblical gift of languages. It will be great if everybody had the biblical gift of prophecy, even more than languages. And the reason that I think that Paul doesn't think everybody can have that gift, let's go back, let's read it again, 1 Corinthians 12, just flip your Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through 30, He says, now you are the body of the Messiah and individual members of it. And Yahweh has placed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing, various kinds of languages. And then he asks, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in languages? Do all interpret? And the answer to each of those questions is no. And we know that because when I taught on 1 Corinthians 12, verse by verse, we covered how the whole purpose of that chapter was to show that we're one body, but we're all different pieces to that one body. It doesn't make sense if you get and you buy a 500-piece puzzle and you open it up and you see 500 pieces that are identical. You can't fit them together. They all have to be different shapes, so they all come to form what? A beautiful picture when the puzzle is through. Doesn't make sense if they're all the same piece. Doesn't make sense if we all have the same gift and talent. So Paul is not saying that it's possible for everybody to speak in other languages or even for everybody to prophesy. He's saying, look, it will be good, I would, that you all spoke in other languages and even more that you prophesied. So he's saying, look, there is a biblical gift of languages. But in the church, I'm seeking for edification. That's what I want to see in you, Corinthian Christians. That's what I want to see in you. Edify the congregation. And why does Paul want them even more to prophesy? Look at the rest of the verse. The person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in languages. Let's stop right there for a second. Now, if you remember back to the first lesson in this series, where that I said that some, not all, but some people think that unless you speak in tongues, that you're not saved. Not all. I was reared under a Pentecostal pastor that actually didn't believe that. He believed in the gift of tongues. I believe he was in error on his understanding when you came to certain aspects of it. But he believed that some people had the gift and some people didn't. And if you never spoke in tongues, you still could have the Holy Spirit and you still could have salvation. And I like that. However, there were some other people in the same church that did not agree with that. And they would batter you until you spoke in what they referred to as tongues. And we just don't see that in the Bible. You know, anytime we see that the biblical gift of languages was poured out on someone, you know who did it? Yahweh. Nobody was rubbing anybody's chest, forcing a microphone down somebody's throat, sweating profusely, playing fast music. None of that was going on. Yahweh Almighty, the Spirit, gave them ability to speak. The person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in languages. The reason that we know, this is my point, the reason we know that you do not have to speak in the biblical gift of languages in order to have the Holy Spirit, another reason we know that is because of this verse. Because if that was true, that the gift of languages always equaled the Holy Spirit, then Paul would be saying the person who prophesies is greater than he that has the Holy Spirit. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But when we understand that the languages, the gift of languages is one of many, then it makes sense. Now, let me say this. Is the person who prophesies always greater than the one that speaks in other languages? No. No. Because in Acts 2, the other languages were needed. What was needed was not the Galilean speech. What was needed was the cloven tongues of fire. It's all about the setting. Once again, verse 5. At the end, the person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in languages. And then it says, unless he interprets, and then notice the last part of the verse, so that the church may be built up. So, Paul says, look, Corinthians, if you're going to operate in the gift, you make sure if you give a message in the gift of languages in another language, you make sure that someone is there that has the gift of interpretation of languages. Remember, that's one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. But the whole reason for the interpretation is so that the church can be edified. Because if a person speaks in other languages, stands up, let's say Danny has the gift, and he can speak in 10 different languages, and he's not went to school for any of them. And he stands up and he rattles off a minute of French. And then he rattles off another minute of Hebrew and another minute of Greek. We all look at Danny and say, well, that's a smart fella right there. And he leaves and he thinks, man, I am smart. And Danny's not like that. I'm just using him as an example because I'm looking at him. You know what? None of us were edified. Danny was puffed up, but we weren't, right? So if he used that biblical gift, if he had it, and he doesn't claim to have it, but if he had it and he used that biblical gift, The only way that we would be built up and edified is if somebody else, let's say Brother John Bokir, pick on you now, John, since you're laughing. Let's say John has the gift of interpretation of languages, and he stood up behind Danny and he said, Danny just spoke French, he spoke a little Hebrew, and he spoke a little Greek, and I'm going to give you the interpretation so that you can be edified and you can be encouraged by what's being said so you'll understand. Well, that would be okay. But it still wouldn't be as proficient, would it? It still wouldn't be as proficient because you have to go through two people instead of one. Paul's not against speaking in other languages in the church if there's an interpretation given after. But it's still not as proficient as prophecy because prophecy is speaking the known language through one avenue, through one mouth. Do you see this? This is what is being talked about here. So, for example, and I don't have the biblical gift of languages, I know a little bit of Hebrew, but if I say, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, Melech Ha'olam. Some of you might have caught a few of those words. We know the Shema pretty good in here. But if I spoke that, let's say I was teaching at another Christian church and they don't understand Hebrew at all, and I spoke that, boy, it makes me look pretty good, doesn't it, Sister Lace? That fella can speak Hebrew. He must be real smart. Not the purpose of the gift, is it? I don't have the gift, but I'm just giving an example. But if I go behind that Hebrew and say, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, the Almighty, Yahweh is one, and He's the King of the entire universe, then what did I do? I edified the congregation because I spoke in a language that they could understand. This is what Paul's talking about right here, that the church may be built up. Praise Yahweh. So next week, Yahweh's will, next Sabbath, we're going to try to cover verses 6 through 12. Verses 6 through 12. So if you want to study those verses this week, I'd encourage you to do that and get ready for the sermon next week. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. I love everybody, and I appreciate everybody for being here on the New Moon meeting. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I am encouraged. I pray that your church is built up today. I pray, Father Yahweh, that above all, you would be glorified by this lesson today. And I believe that you are, because if we just stick with your word, the faithful teaching of your word, I believe builds a strong congregation, strong quality. Father Yahweh, let us never grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes we get tired. Let us never grow weary, Father, when we do what's good. And let us always remember to seek your praise and not the praise of man, but your praise. I love everybody in here, Father Yahweh, and I'm so thankful to be able to teach these people, the greatest people on the face of the earth. I really believe that. So thank you so much, Yahweh. Thank you for your only begotten Son. He's what makes all this possible. We couldn't have peace with you, Father. But it's as Brother Leon said earlier, it is through your Son that we are made the righteousness of you, Father. And that just means so much to me. I'm so thankful that you sent him, and I'm so thankful that he submitted to your will. I know it was tough for him, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So thank you, Yeshua, for that. I pray all these things to you, Holy Father, through your Son.